praise. I need protection. For a day such as this, I need protection. I need Jesus to put a fence around me every day of my life. As the devil told God about Job, you got a hedge of protection. And as long as God got that protection, I can't touch the man. So he said, Lord, let the protection out. Y'all better give God praise for the protection. See, some of y'all still here today because there's been a hedge of protection. You know, you done been everywhere, done everything, done seen everything you want to see, but yet God is still protecting you. You ain't doing it. Listen, let me tell you something. The virus is invisible. But God specializes in those things that are unseen. Shut up, stricken. Y'all better stop. That's why he tells us to praise God for danger seen and unseen. Known and unknown. Conscious and unconscious. Shit, good God Almighty. Y'all better stop. Y'all better stop. Yeah, y'all messing me up, sit down, you're making me nervous, sit down. Ooh, God. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. We magnify your name, O God, for you alone are worthy of the praise. We thank you for your presence in this place right now. Continue to anoint your people as we bless your name. Now, Father God, as we expound upon your word, let your word go out and not return void. For as John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. When I open my mouth, Lord, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Open up our ears that we may hear. Open up our hearts that we may receive. Open up our spirits so that your will, not our will be done in our lives. And now, God, bless your people in this place. Bless those who are watching online. Bless each and every family. Heal the sick. Regulate our minds. Give strength to our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we say, amen and amen. Can the church say amen? Can the church say amen again? Hallelujah. Well, here we are on another Lord's Day, praising his holy and righteous name and giving him honor for just being God. As we continue to celebrate going into this Advent season, this Christmas season, a time that we've awaited for. Little kids are counting down the days till Christmas. And I believe after today, we'll officially be into the 12 days of Christmas. And so today, I want to encourage you to keep Christ alive in Christmas, regardless of what's going on around us. For it was proclaimed to us 2,000 years ago that the Savior has come. I want to just read just two verses of the scripture, and we'll read the rest of it later. Just two verses of the scripture found in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It's a very powerful verse. When you really understand what all had happened right here and what it meant to the world. And here's what it's telling us today. It says, suddenly, look at somebody and tell them suddenly. That means out of nowhere. In the midst of whatever you was doing, something happened. Anybody ever had a suddenly moment? I'm gonna preach already. Anybody had God just to show up out of nowhere? You weren't even expecting him to show up, but he just suddenly, things changed. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, listen to what they saying now, listen to what they saying. Glory to God. They saying glory to God. They saying glory. They saying glory to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And peace. Wait a minute. I'm giving God glory. They giving him glory. But they didn't forget about what's going on the earth. And peace on earth to who? Y'all better read your word. And peace on earth to people he favors. So what makes a difference between who he favor and who he don't? What makes some people more favored than you? Favor ain't fair. Shut up, straight one. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Then don't forget about his creation. And peace on earth to people he favors. Hallelujah. We are in our second week. Our second week of Rediscover Christmas. Good news in troubling times. And our topic for this morning is finding peace in our struggle. Look at somebody, tell them the struggle is real. Tell them this time of life, in this time of life, the struggle is not just for some, but for everybody. The struggle is real. Listen. Not only physically, but spiritually. Amen. Paul said, every day we're wrestling. Hello, somebody. Our flesh with the spirit. There's a struggle going on the inside. Hallelujah. So the struggle is real, not only on the outside, but some of us struggle this morning just to get up and make a decision. Do I want to watch it online? Or do I want to go in person? But as I was searching today in my study, I come to discover that Christmas is a big deal over in Finland. I don't know if I have anybody here that's been to Finland. I don't think. Oh, somebody said not yet. Oh, I know we've been on Finley Street, but we've never been to Finland, the country. Amen. Amen. You've been to Finley Street. Amen. Amen. But you've never been to Finland. Amen. 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 But you know what? There's a great tradition there that happens every year. In fact, it's been happening since the 1300s. That's over 700 years they've been doing this tradition. And it's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. Each year at noon on Christmas Eve, the Christmas peace is declared to the city of Tukur. The proclamation is read, usually by a city official, from the balcony of a historical mansion in the center of town in the old great square. It's broadcast on radio, television, and now, of course, you can stream it live on the internet. So if you don't believe it, come noontime in Finland on Christmas Eve, get on the internet and find it. You can find it. Amen. They're going to be doing it this year. This year it's going to be a little different, though, they said, with the social distancing, so they won't have a big old crowd out in the square, but they will do the declaration. Now listen, the declaration serves as a reminder and encouragement to spend the holiday in harmony. The declaration is read out loud to remind people that Christmas peace has begun, to advise people to spend the festive period in harmony, and to threaten offenders with harsh punishment, and to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Listen, look how the proclamation reads. This is on that parchment piece of paper. This is the official reading that they're going to read. This is what they read every year for the last 700 years at Christmas Eve. This is what they read. Tomorrow, I like how they start out. Tomorrow, God's willing. Because who knows if tomorrow going to happen. You got to acknowledge God first in everything that you do. They said tomorrow, God's willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior. And thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. By advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violate the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall under aggravating circumstances be guilty and punished according to what the law and statute prescribes for each and every offense separately. Wow. finally, probably with a smile on their face now. A joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city. They do this every year on Christmas Eve at noon. They proclaim Christmas peace. You better not mess with the Finn's Christmas peace, or you'll be dealt with harshly. I like how they said, shall under aggravating circumstances be guilty and punished. Break it if you want to. Let the po-po come knocking on your door because you and Uncle George done got in a fight during Christmas. That you're trying to steal something during Christmas. That you done lied on somebody during Christmas. No, this is a time. Back it up one, Brother Casey. Back it up. Back it up. Because this is a time, amen, to advise devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because those who break this peace, I love that. Those who break this peace, go to the next screen, violates the peace of Christmas. Oh, Christmas is going to be different in 2024 as now, ain't it? Let me just chill out, straight horn. Let me just. Oh, I didn't get what I want for Christmas. That's cool. It's all right. It's okay. Amen. Let me keep the peace. I don't want to violate the declaration. Amen. Amen. I'm declaring to you right now, Bright Star, Christmas Eve will start a declaration of peace. Amen. Amen. But what a great way to usher in Christmas. With a reminder of Christ's coming and the peace he brings into the world. If you've been journeying with us this past week towards Christmas, you know we're celebrating the Christmas spirit, the Christmas season. Amen. And as we celebrate the Christmas season, let us rediscover that Christmas is a season of hope and peace, a season of expectation, waiting, anticipating, and longing for the newborn King. Amen. 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 Christmas 2020 will likely look very different than what we used to. I typed in Christmas 2020 and this is what it showed me. Christmas ornament with a mask on. Or as a Christmas ornament, a mask. Amen. And then it talked about a year to remember, a pandemic. Amen. E-learning, amen, 6 feet apart, social distancing, hand sanitizer, coronavirus. My five-year-old grandson can say coronavirus. He don't want to get sick, so he wear his mask because of the coronavirus. He was supposed to go on a trip last year, but he'll tell you because of the coronavirus, we couldn't go on my trip because they closed Disney, amen, because of the coronavirus. I remember one day I told him the place was closed. He wanted to go to Dave and Buster's. I said, they closed. No, they're not, Papa. I said, yes, they are. I had to put him in the car, take him to Dave and Buster's and let him pull on the door so that they know they're closed. I said, why they closed? Because of the coronavirus. This is a year to remember. 2020. Christmas is going to be very different. And as the video said, Christmas on Zoom. It's not the same as being there in person. Can I get a witness? Amen. With the corona infection rate increasing again, local lockdowns coming into force, a normal Christmas seems like a wish that won't be granted. So what can we expect from this festive time of season? At this stage, one of very few things we can say with certainty is that Christmas Day will fall on the 25th of December. Amen. Corona or not, it will fall on the 25th of December. And beyond that, everything else is up in the air. But let us not lose focus that the Christmas season also offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth and to be alert for his second coming. You want somebody to celebrate your birthday, huh? Corona or no corona, people are figuring out how to celebrate their birth. Oh, don't get quiet now. No doubt. No doubt. So on the 25th of December, that's the birth of Jesus Christ. That's the day we celebrate it. So let's celebrate the birth of Christ. Amen. Let's not forget Jesus is the reason for the season. We will discover that Christmas is a time of joy. And we're glad that you're here today to discover with us Christmas peace. In the scripture we read, we know that there are different characters in the Bible that comprise the Christmas story. And we want to see how they encountered the arrival of Jesus into the world. When we think of peace embodied in the Christmas story, we can't help but think of the shepherds. Huh? They were the unlikely recipients of God's message of peace. Let's look at Luke's account. It's a beautiful poetic scripture. It's especially true for those of us who grew up watching Charlie Brown Christmas. When Linus steps up on the stage, when Charlie Brown want to know what Christmas is all about. And Linus say, cue the lights. And he starts to read the Christmas story. It's a great moment in TV, but before TV was invented, before any Charlie Brown, it was still a beautiful story that was inspired by the book of Luke. Can I read it for you? Let's go to Luke 2, 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Listen, y'all, stay with it now. An angel, meaning one. An angel of the Lord appeared with them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them. Who? The shepherds. And they were terrified. My God. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, because you just can't go looking for any old body. I want to tell you exactly how to find him and where he will be and what you look for. So if you look in a place and you don't see this, this ain't the same. Shut up, Street. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth. I like the King James Version. Swaddling clothes. And lying in a manger. So don't go to nobody's house. Don't go to the hospital. You got to go out where the barn is, where the animals at, because that's where the mangers are. So start looking in the mangers. And then it says this, suddenly, y'all remember it was just one angel, amen. Now can you imagine you one of them shepherd boys, you out there looking, and all of a sudden you see one angel, he done calmed your spirit already. And then all of a sudden, suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Look at somebody and say, do you have the favor of God? Then you have peace. When the angel had left them and gone back into heaven. Some things you can't keep to yourself. Sometimes some things happen so great in your life, you gotta tell somebody else. Amen. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. In other words, I believe what I just heard, because what I just heard was unbelievable. Right. Shut up, Trayvon. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Where? Lying in a manger. Why? Because the angel told us what to look for. Amen. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds, not the educated, not the sophisticated, not the king or the queen or the princes, but shepherds. They were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, mama with her newborn child, her whole world just changed. She treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Somebody should give the Lord a praise. That is, wow. It's so much in just these few verses. To begin, this is like God's birth announcement to the world. In other words, this is God's gender reveal. Oh, that's the thing nowadays, gender reveals. Everybody thinking about ways to have a gender reveal, to tell the world of what's about to happen, what's about to come. And they get out there, it's either going to be pink or blue. Pink for a girl, blue for a boy. And they got all kind of ways that they want to do it. Blowing up balloons, popping off cannons, putting sprinkles in the air. They doing all kind of stuff. Getting eggs, throwing it in water and letting it dissolve and see what color it turns. They doing all, but God know how to do it right. He get angels, heavenly hosts, singing glory to God to the highest, telling the shepherds who is about to be. You're going to find the child born in Bethlehem. I'm going to preach in a minute. Can you imagine in the middle of a dark and ordinary night, Bethlehem countryside, an angel appears. The living translation of the word called them an army of heaven. And it's hard to imagine just how magnificent and bright and terrifying and glorious a sight this must have been. Oh, we tried to imitate it. We tried to duplicate it when Elder Strayhorn was here, when we used to do the little Christmas plays. And we had the little starlights up in the choir stand bending down. And then when we say suddenly, they'll jump up and we hit them with the spotlight. We'll turn on the music. That was cute. But I believe what really happened in actuality was so phenomenal. It scared them brothers. It was so loud. Can you imagine the sound? Can you imagine the sound when the angels are singing? Can you imagine heaven giving glory to this gender reveal that the Christ have come, that the Messiah is now born, that God's only son has now come into the earth? Can you imagine the presentation that God gave them to let them know that my son has now stepped in earth? What language, or what's the language they were speaking and singing in? What was it, a heavenly language? What kind of melody? What's the harmony? How loud was it? What was the instruments that was blown? Was there trumpets there? Was there oi? What all was there to make this magnificent sound to introduce us to the newborn king? But of course, the audience for this grand announcement and amazed angelic show must have been the most important VIPs. They must have been the rich and famous, must have been the powerful, must have been the kings and queens, the movers and shakers of the world, right? Right? No. You know the story. It was those shepherds, those completely ordinary, average Joes, that night shift worker, the animal tender, who was the unlikely, unexpected recipients of the message of peace, of wholeness, and God's favor. Yet another scene in how God is perfectly flipping the script on what we humans would expect and plan and do if it was up to us to save the world. But the whole experience certainly leaves us asking some questions. Why shepherds? Why these completely unexpecting, unassuming guys? Maybe it's because the shepherds actually tie many biblical threads together. As you read the Bible, you see shepherds woven in and throughout the Bible. The first, the shepherds reminds us as the patriots of Israel. They were shepherds and no man. They were animal tenders, Roman ranchers of the ancient world. Abraham was the original recipients of God's covenant that he would bless all nations of the world. And this promise was carried on throughout Abraham's ancestries, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. David, Israel's greatest king, was the first shepherd as well. Hallelujah. But the shepherds were the everyday man. They was nothing special, because even when the prophet went to go look for David, where was he? Out tending the sheep. What did daddy do? Daddy tried to show him all the good, handsome looking boys, all the beefed up boys, all the boys that had muscles and strength. But the prophet said, these ain't the one. God told me to look for a certain breed. He told me to look for somebody. Not these bodies, but he told me to look for somebody, and this ain't it. Do you have any more? Well, you know, there's little David, but he out there watching. Let me go look at that one. Let me go put my eyes on him. And when he got to David, he said, this is the one, the youngest of the one, the strawny one, the one out there watching the sheep, the one that's minding his business, doing what God called him to do, the one that God's going to use to turn the world upside down. That's the one I'm looking for.
Yeah.
We got to understand that as David became a king, God used him in a mighty way. But we got to understand that shepherds were the everyday man. They were nothing special. They had no entitlement. They had no pride or arrogance, no religious boasting. They fit right into the process of introducing God's Messiah. A humble carpenter and a peasant girl was his parents. They were the parents for the Son of God. A birth in a lowly stable surrounded by animals. It was rough. It was rugged. There was no sterilization. Hallelujah. There was no midwife. Hello. None of that. Joseph had to help with the delivery. In a stable. There was no hot water. Every time somebody having a baby on TV, get the hot water. Wasn't no hot water. This is where Jesus was born. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a clean, sterilized condition. He was born in a stable where the cows were mooing and the sheep was behind. He was born in a stable. He was born in a trough that the animals eat out of. Y'all do know that's where the manger is. Surrounded by animals, in this rough conditions, in the field, on the edge of civilization. These were the have-nots. They were examples of God raising and using humble people and turning the world as we know it on its head. God will use just a humble person. God will use somebody that don't nobody know. God. Those who were considered by society to be the most holy, they weren't even given a space or even a place to kneel on the holy ground and witness the arrival of the Messiah. The prince and princesses wasn't there. Matter of fact, the Sadducees and the Pharisees wasn't even there. These shepherds also signifies Jesus' future ministry and teaching. Sheep might have been lowly animals, but they were very special animals in the Jewish tradition and in their culture. The Passover lamb was the sacrifice an ancient Jews would make during the most important holidays. It's by the blood of the Lamb. It was by the blood of the Lamb that the atonement of sin was done. It was the cost that had to be paid. Something had to die for the repentance of sin. And each time it was done as a sacrifice, it reminded them of the original Passover when God rescued them out of the Exodus and brought them out of Egypt.
Right.
We do it every Sunday. We anoint our doors as a symbol of the blood of the Lamb. So that if the death angel come by 809 Charlotte, that as he did for the children of Israel, same God back then, same God right now. And if he did it for Moses, if I practice the same precepts and ordinance, he'll do it for me. And so as the death angel passed them by, when it slide down Charlotte Street and it looks to the left and see the glass doors, but then he'll look up and see the anointing. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. He slips on back out in the street and gone about his business. Y'all messing me up. I ain't gonna get done today. Jesus. You and I know that Jesus was entering our world to fulfill his identity as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He was the ultimate sacrifice and payment for our sins. His death did away with the need of the sacrificial lamb. His resurrection made it possible for us to be fully restored in our relationship with God, because when God look at us, he don't see us, but he see the blood. His life made it possible to experience true peace, the shalom word in the Hebrew language, a word and a concept that summarized the completeness and the wholeness of God's original creation. It's probably partially for all of these reasons that God sent his angel messengers and gave the announcement of the birth of his son to the shepherds. It certainly reminds us. It certainly reminds us that God's favor is not based on human standards. Can I get a witness? His favor is on all those who humbly acknowledge their brokenness and accept the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus brings. Peace is not based on class or position or occupation, but on God's purpose and design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, if you're looking for a person to bring you joy, you're looking to the wrong source. If you're looking for people to make you happy, you're looking to the wrong source. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hello, somebody. You can't give me joy, because this joy I have. I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm taking my time right now. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if you didn't give it to me, you sure enough can't take it away. You got to understand, this joy I have comes from Jesus. This joy I have has been bestowed on me by his favor. I think the shepherds led us into some insight that we have to understand when it comes to the peace of God. Peace can come in the midst of our storms. Can I get a witness? Huh? I'm getting ready to go home. Have you ever experienced a hurricane? Have you ever lived through a storm? Peace can come in the midst of our storm. Have you ever experienced a time when life was out of control and you can hardly breathe? Then we have moments when everything is calm and peaceful, but all of a sudden the phone ring, all of a sudden we get a text, all of a sudden something happened and all hell breaks loose and the chaos starts up again. Our lives starts to look like those freeze frame moments in the movie when everything slows down to a tiny pinpoint moment of reality while catastrophe, destruction happens all around you, but the person is frozen. and can't control what's happening around them. And some of us can say that 2020 has been that way. We just stuck and everything is swirling around us and there's nothing we can do. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, how is your Christmas season going so far? How does your Christmas season typically go? If we was honest, we might choose words like busy, hectic, frantic. Amen. Crazy. Tiresome. Amen. Destructive. Amen. Distressed. Depressed. All this describes our life. Or maybe it's been this way since March of 2020. Maybe it's an overload schedule that robs you of your peace. Or maybe it's something more. Maybe it's relational conflict, pressure at work, a loss of your job, illness, sickness, disease, and death. You name it. We have plenty of options to choose from this year. For many of us, peace sounds like a long way off. A good ideal, a nice thought for the holidays, something that we can long for. But if this is where we find ourselves today, let me encourage you that Jesus shows up when the storm of life threatens our peace, our hope, and he is there with us when love seems lost and the way forward is totally unclear. Just ask the disciples out on the ship. And Jesus was asleep. The winds was blowing, the waves was tossing them to and fro. And they went to Jesus. At least they knew who to go to. Lord, don't you care? We're about to perish. Jesus woke up. Now listen, if Jesus is asleep in the midst of the storm, why don't I just go on to sleep with him? If he don't care about it, why? I ain't gonna care about it. Amen. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Jesus is able to sleep because he knows that he can do something about the storm at any point in time. He can. So if Jesus knows that in my life, why am I getting all upset? Why am I getting all frantic? Why am I being disturbed? If Jesus sleeps, let me just curl up down there with the brother. But they were scared, just like we would have been. We'd have been scared. The waves is high. The winds is blowing. Jesus, don't you care? Jesus got up, looked at the wind. Now, I've never seen the wind. I see the effects of the wind. But Jesus looked at the wind and the waves and said, peace, be still. The wind died down. The winds died down. The waves weighed down. The boats stood still. And the disciples said, what manner of man? They didn't understand. Y'all better go ahead and preach this thing. What manner? What is this? I believe, if I can use my imagination, if I was there, I'd probably just been speechless. Just what just happened? We got to understand, Jesus is our peace. In the midst of chaos, this is where God appears. This is where the Christ child is born. This is where the angel shows up. In the middle of Israel's darkest night of Roman oppression and centuries of suffering and wondering, where is God? In the middle of a world turned upside down for the young Jewish couple who have found themselves. You got to understand that Mary got pregnant by a holy thing. She was just engaged to Joseph. Joseph, being a just man, didn't want to put her away. But the Lord had to talk to that brother, too. Hold on, bro. I know what you're thinking, but you ain't got to go that route. Because what's conceived in Mary is a holy thing. Do your part, do your role. Amen. Because back in them days, you supposed to marry a virgin. But you can't be a virgin if you're pregnant, so somebody impregnated you. So I have no responsibility or obligation anymore. But Joseph, being a just man, God spoke to him. Amen. We got to understand what God has for you is for you. You got to understand, God allowed Mary and Joseph to be the parents of a God child. You know how it is with your children. Can you imagine if you're Mary and Jesus is your son and you know that's God's son? You'd be watching him like a hawk. No, don't go outside. Come back over here. No, no. And they had a heart pounding moment when they lost him one day. Can you imagine you lost Jesus, Lord? And God come knocking on your door. Where my son? But in the middle of all of this chaos in their lives, they experienced the birth of God's son. It was a painful process. And all these circumstances, all these struggles, this is where God showed up. I don't know every hardship you're facing today. I don't know. Or every wince of pain you're feeling, but God does. He is there bringing peace to calm your heart. But we got to understand, peace that defies your circumstances. Can I get a witness? Oh, I hear you. You're saying that's great news, Pastor. It sounds nice. You might be thinking, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I've been hurt. Peace is hard for me to gain right now. No, I don't know. And I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't imagine how awful it is. And I can only agree with you how unfair life can be. But let me encourage you that there is peace that is deeper. There is a peace that defies your circumstances. No, 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 no. In the face of all you're facing and all you have gone through, God's peace sometimes don't make sense. But it is real. A peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a healing peace and can guard your heart from continually being wounded. It can protect your mind from the onslaught of anxiety. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. You want to find peace? Do it this way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't hear me the first time, I'll say it again. And I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evidence to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Let me encourage you today, no matter what you're facing, that this process begin with us turning to God and bringing our hurts and questions and doubts and whys and needs to him. Paul says it like this: in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, not on Facebook. Can I help somebody right now? To all my Facebook family and friends, please pray for me and my family and our situation. We're going through, we're struggling right now. We're blah, blah, blah. Thank you. And your Facebook friends can't do nothing for you, because they going through too. Can I get a witness? The Bible tells me, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present my request to God. And God will handle it. And if he touched somebody to handle it, he'll send them my way. God will put me on somebody's heart. that he's already blessed abundantly. Can I give you another secret? And they don't even have to be a nice person. God will touch a wicked person to help. And you better get over who you don't like. Because that's the very one God going to touch. To change not only your financial situation, but your attitude. Because the wealth of the rich, wicked. The wealth of the wicked. Laid up. For the righteous. I know some wicked rich folk. I'm trying to help them in the name of Jesus. I don't pretend to fully understand it. I'm Jesus, Lord, mercy. But much more than that, the power of prayer happens to be the power of peace. If something happens when you just start talking to God. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm going to go home. So give me 5 more minutes. Something happens when you just start talking to. Have anybody ever just talked? I ain't talking about you whining and crying to God. I'm talking about you had a conversation. Shut up, stupid. You. Oh, Jesus. You weren't in a hurry. You weren't trying to bless your food. You weren't trying to get out. You weren't trying to go nowhere. But you just took your time. Old folks said, just a little talk with Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus. Make it all right. We got to understand God can be trusted. And God is enough. Let me get to where I got to go home. We got to understand that peace. If you want real peace, you got to understand that peace is a person. Now I'm getting there. Peace is a person. It all comes back to a person. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. Paul said it in Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. And long before his arrival on earth, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. He said, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. Not Trump. Not Biden, not Kamala Harris. The government is on his shoulders. Huh? Hey, God. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be called Mighty God. He will be called Everlasting Father. He will be called the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This child that's born, this son that is given, brings power. And he rules with peace, even in governments. He brings peace between us and God. He brings peace between us and our sins. He brings peace, and he's the embodiment of peace and shalom. And he still offers us to come to him when he said, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened. Matthew 11:28-30. And he said, and I, can't nobody give you rest like Jesus. He said, I don't care who you call. Your mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. He said, we'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am the Prince of Peace. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. Is that not an offer of peace? Let us work for peace, even in the midst of our struggle. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Let us work for peace, even in our struggle. Look, 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 I'm going home now. I'm going home now. I'm going home. Look, look, look. I know we're in a pandemic. I know sickness, disease, and death is all around us. I know the struggle is real. I know that anxiety, worry, and great concerns are on our minds. I know the enemy is trying to tear us apart, break us down, steal our joy, kill our spirit, and destroy our peace. I know. But I also know, you got to know. Tell somebody, you got to know what you know. Tell them, you got to know what you know. I know. But I also know Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called. I know Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I know John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace in the world. Jesus already told us about today. In this world, you shall have, not might, not sometimes, you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I can laugh in the storm. I can be good in the troubled times. I can shout glory. I don't have to wait till the storm is over. I don't have to wait till the battle is over. I ain't got to wait. I can praise God right now. I ain't got to do it. He said, in the world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. Shout right now. Shout right now. Shout right now. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So my question, Bright Star, what do you know? Do you know him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What do you know? Do you know he's a miracle worker? What do you know? That he can turn your midnight into day. What do you know? What do you know? Quit letting the devil trick you up in your mind. Quit letting the devil stumble all over your life. Quit letting the devil take you through. What do you know? I know he's a company keeper. I know he's a mother for the motherless. I know he's a father for the fatherless. I know Jesus is real. What do you know? 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 I know that I know that I know. Not what somebody told me, but this is what I know. You got to fight the devil back with what you know. And if he brought you out before, you got to know he'll do it again. If he got you going through, you got to know that he'll bring you out. And he'll bring you out better than you went through. God going to make it more than what you went through the first time. God going to make it better than the last time. So don't worry about where you are. Don't worry about what you're going through. The Bible said we got to learn how to rejoice in the Lord at all times. And again, I say, rejoice. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Why you say rejoice, Pastor, while I'm going through? When you rejoice while you're going through, you let the devil know he has no hold on you. That your praise don't change because of your situation. You got to let the devil know, I'm going to praise him in the good times. I'm going to praise him in the bad times, because he's got a hedge around me, a protection that even if I'm going through, he told me, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So I got to praise him right now, regardless of what it looks through. I got to praise him through the pandemic. I got to praise him through the COVID-19. I got to praise him while I'm going through. I got to praise him. I got to praise him. Even in the pain, I got to praise him. That there's no difference in my pain just because it's not peaches and cream. I got to praise him anyhow. For he is worthy, thank you, to be praised. Thank you. So let Jesus be your peace. Let him guard your soul with peace. Let him fill your spirit with peace. Let the wholeness of shalom, peace, dwell and rule in your heart. And let the Prince of Peace lead and guide you all the way. I offer you this peace today. The peace of Jesus. I offer you this peace today. Because the Christmas season brought us peace. It brought us the Prince of Peace. So let this peace be in you. Don't be scared. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. As the shepherd boys did, they went and told everybody about somebody who can save anybody. They went and told it. They told it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born. So I encourage you today, whether you're in the building or watching online, if you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just make your way to the front or type in, I need Jesus. And we'll help you with the next steps in your life. For that's the reason Jesus came. He said, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.